Hour number three, triple option, RBKD. BK gone for the week. We'll be back on Monday. He's doing what people in their mid-20s do, but also doing it during COVID. So we'll get his stories. Got another 20s guy. You'd think he's in his 60s, though, when you listen to his music. And just his soul. That'd be Sam Pica. Obviously, the All-American Rod Babers. And I'm Kevin Dunn. 2 hours in, 2 hours to go. Before we get back to Big 12 and the schedule that was released last night or yesterday, and maybe how it impacts UT, also some Gary Patterson talk. Let's stay in the state of Texas. We talked about it a couple segments ago during One and Done, and I didn't see this, so I got to say thanks to A.J. Hoffman, who tweeted that Roberto Osuna is done for the year. Tommy John. You know what? Usually you should call for the sounder before, but I almost like doing that sounder after you deliver the bad breaking news. That is the bad breaking news for us.
No. I think you should do it after, too. I like that. At least you get it out there. Yeah. And it's like, while I'm processing the bad news, I process it with the breaking bad sounder. Man, literally, you just brought it up in your One and Done. And, you know, we got into some of these specific names of pitchers on different teams in Major League Baseball that are dealing with issues. I do think it's, and I wish someone would do the math on it, so I got to go maybe do some research tonight and go see how many pitchers early on last year had injuries.
Right.
There's no question I test right now. Just as an Astros fan, so I may be looking at the world from
you may be skewed.
Skewed point. Yeah, exactly, right? I may be looking at it from a very pessimistic point of view, considering Osuna and Verlander's hurt and all the other guys that are dealing with injuries, and Lance McCullers coming off injuries. I'm keeping my fingers crossed for him, but all the rookie pitchers at the Astros, have had to debut. So they're dealing with this, and I think they're seeing it and been affected by it maybe disproportionately. There's no question across Major League Baseball that everybody's pitching rotation has been hit hard by injuries early on. We just started the season.
Yes.
You know, I mean, we just started. So something tells me, I'm with you, I think it's because of the very strange, obtuse, unorthodox offseason because of COVID. These are thoroughbreds. Pitchers even more so than hitters.
Yeah.
Pitchers are thoroughbreds, man. They are bred to do a certain thing. I don't mean to sound insensitive, but you get my point.
No, that's
They're conditioned and trained to throw the damn ball. And thoroughbreds often, the slightest change in routine, slightest change in their regimen, slightest change in the philosophy, it can really have an effect on them mentally, physically, physiological perspective.
Yes.
Excuse me. It's hard to say.
No, that's a tough one.
It's a tough one. Yeah, a little tough time with that one. But I think it's tough on the pitchers more so than the hitters, and I think you're seeing that play out.
I don't think there's any question. And that's where I worry about. Pitchers would be one, and then fast twitch guys. So you, cornerbacks, receivers, in football. I mean, I'm not as worried about a 350-pounder.
No, I totally agree.
He can still pull something.
Yep.
I'm not sure he's going to be moving quick enough to feel it, but it's about being in shape, and it's really about, like we've talked about, your routine, and there's no doubt that some of these routines were thrown off.
NFL injuries in 2011 were up 17%. That was that offseason when they were negotiating the CBA, yep. So they didn't have the traditional training camps and the traditional mini camps. Injuries are up 17%, specifically soft tissue injuries. A lot of ACL tears, a lot of hamstring pulls, things of that nature. That goes to your thoroughbred point. That was guys who are speed guys who usually, you know, they can open up and usually their muscles are conditioned by the time they play that they can sprint, you know, chill for a while, sprint, and they're used to that that type of regimen, and at least that
like
type
stop,
of wear
start,
and tear.
Open up, close down.
Yeah, and they weren't used to it at that time.
So no OTAs this year and no spring football.
Exactly.
And we don't know what the camps are going to look like. We've talked about how the preseason games are important for guys making the team. Mm-hmm. I would think one or two would be important for starters, even if it's a couple of series, to kind of get that going again.
Yeah, totally agree. No preseason, it's going to be tough.
No preseason. We do know the Big 12, at least right now, is planning on having a season. They did announce that it's going to be a 9-game conference schedule plus one non-conference game. That non-conference game will come before the Big 12 schedule, and it should be mid to late September around there. Sam, did you have something, brother?
I was just nodding along.
Wow. You know, just following intently along. That's someone who's had trailing as a producer for a lot of his life. And I thought, well, the eye contact and the head shaking is weird.
Means I have something to say.
Something's got to be on fire. Well, hopefully the Big 12 schedule will be able to play out. Right now, like you said, in a couple of weeks, they're going to decide mid, late September to get that thing going.
Yeah.
But, Rod, the good news is we're planning on having football.
I think we're going to have football. I think we'll start football. Throw that out there. Hopefully we'll finish it. I'll knock on some wood for that. But I do believe you give yourself room to adjust. I think that's what all the college, the Power Five leagues are doing. They're giving themselves room to adjust. They're going to expect and anticipate disruptions. It's going to happen. You don't have the bubble that the NBA does, or major or MLS, or even that NHL is doing with their multiple bubbles. You don't really have that. There's going to be exposure. There are going to be positive tests. You need to anticipate the best way to deal with that logistically, and honestly, to anticipate the unexpected. You don't know what you don't know about what's going to rise after you play a football game during a pandemic. So I think move up, or I don't know exactly how they're going to lay out the schedule, but I think the Big 12 would move up that non-conference, that plus one, as early as possible, give everybody a bye week, couple of weeks in between that to start conference play, and then I think everybody would be better equipped and better informed as to how to start the season, what protocols they need, what guidelines they need to have in place, and there would have been a lot better trial and error in those, you know, in that from week one to week two. What the coaches always say, your biggest improvement is from week one to week two.
Yep.
Well, coaches are now saying the number one opponent for every team this year in any sport is going to be the COVID virus, number one, beating that, and then facing your opponent and beating your opponent.
Can't hit what you can't see.
Exactly.
Keep your head up.
Yeah. So you got a game plan for the COVID first before you have a game plan for an opponent, because you're not going to be able to play an opponent unless you beat the COVID for that week.
Right.
So I think you'll see the biggest improvement also, not only in the players, but also in the COVID protocols and guidelines for teams from week one to week two for everybody.
And like you said, week one and week two, hopefully there'll be maybe three real weeks in between.
That'd be great. They can do three.
So South Florida was scheduled for September 5th. That could still be on the table. We're guessing, I think, along with other people, keep it in the system, and that UTEP would be that game that they keep.
Chip Brown and Horns247, I believe, are reporting that UTEP will be the game. But we don't know for sure yet. UT has not made an announcement.
So that was scheduled for September 19th. Do you try and play that? Do you flip that to September 5th, or do you try and play it even earlier?
I would try to play it as early as possible. That one non-con.
So what, August 28th,
if
would
you
that
could
be?
Do it, if I could do it, I'd do it August 20th. Whenever the NCAA, August 29th, whenever the NCAA says the first day you could do it.
But we're then not listening to them.
I'd work my way from there, because then we don't know what UTEP. I haven't looked at UTEP's schedule either. That's a good point. So we got to look at UTEP's schedule, see what UTEP is doing in their conference and what their issue is. We have not really cross-referenced their schedule with Texas to see if they can move it. But if it, the earliest possible date for Texas to give themselves a little cushion is what I think, what I would think they would be trying to shoot for.
Yeah, you would think, right?
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. No doubt about it.
Okay, so, and the other thing, too, is that maybe the Big 12 championship game, they've got a little flexibility with that. Could be December 12th, December 19th. Yep. Obviously depends on when they start in September. And like you said, it'll go week to week to make sure that everything happens. I mean, look at Major League Baseball right now.
Come on,
and I don't know how they're going to figure out this schedule.
You've canceled.
We're playing in December.
You got 20% of the teams that didn't even play over the weekend because of COVID guidelines and restrictions.
And and if you look at the records, it's funny too. I mean, it's just weird because the Cubs are 9-2, and then you've got some teams that haven't gotten many games in at all.
Yeah, no, it's. I think if you're, you know, the Big 12, and we criticize Bob Bowlesby. I always call him the Michael Scott of conference commissioners. Being patient in this scenario wasn't necessarily an indictment on him.
God, I wish
or
he
his
was as funny as Michael Scott.
He is.
You know, I mean, he's Michael Scott, but boring.
He is Michael Scott, but boring. This is true. I compare him to Michael Scott because of his incompetence and ineptitude.
No, it's a good comparison,
right,
on that.
Michael Scott is, I'd rather hang out with Michael Scott than Bob Bowlesby there, no question about it. But in this scenario, at least they're going with kind of the uniform model. And I think the Big 12 is well equipped to deal with. They got the 9 games in the conference, and then they'll have just 1+1. So the other schools could potentially have more games. I think the ACC is doing 10 games and also a plus one.
And a plus
one. So they'll do 11. But I think the Big 12 made a good decision here. I thought they might get outside the box may try to do something a little weird, maybe something a little funky, like the Sun Belt did, where they allowed teams to play up to 12 games with, I think they had 8 conference games, but obviously the Big 12 would have had 9. They could have went there, and they didn't. And I wouldn't have had any problem with that either, but at least now there's more uniformity.
So UTEP does have, it's September 5th, isn't it? Against Texas Tech?
Yep, Sam.
So the Tech thing's interesting for me. What is there a battle over that, or can UTEP, I mean, will they end up taking on?
And UTEP is in what?
Well, actually, you can only take on one when you're talking about one non-conference.
What conference is UTEP in? I wish I knew this.
Conference USA.
I don't think they've announced exactly what their plan of action will be going forward. So maybe, listen, they do what the Sun Belt did, no problem. But if they go conference only, maybe there is a problem. Maybe they do have to cut. So right now,
maybe South Florida does get that 1.7.
Yeah, it's a great point. Yeah, so we don't know. Yeah, I never thought about that. But if Conference USA does something along the lines of Sun Belt, there's still room for Texas to move things around and play them. But if not, then there will be a hard decision to be made on one side or the other about it. That's interesting. That's going to be interesting for Texas.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. Well, we do know TCU was in the news yesterday. We talked about it a little bit. Gary Patterson talking to his redshirt freshman. What am I forgetting the name here? Jordan. Jordan?
The linebacker.
Linebacker, yes. Right. And that was a little bit of back and forth. Jordan had posted on Instagram that one, he started off with, I've not gotten the playing time that I want.
You know what?
That.
But give him props for at least being honest about what part of his gripe was. And we agreed that.
Put everything on the table here.
Put everything on the table.
So there, I am a little maybe angry about other things, but he had apparently been using the N-word in a couple team meetings, and Gary Patterson went up to him in a back-and-forth exchange that started with other stuff but seemed to really focus around this, told him, stop saying N-word, except he actually said it. Not hard ER, although he came back later to the team with a hard ER. Rod, a lot of players defending Gary Patterson.
Yeah.
I think we can stand with what we said yesterday. Look, guys, whether it goes to the Clemson receiver coach, don't be an idiot. I'm all for you trying to get that out of the locker room.
Agreed.
There's a way to address that. And all you got to say is N-word, and guys, we don't want any of that. We're not going to tolerate it. We're trying to have a healthy, copacetic environment here, right?
Yeah.
So Gary made a mistake there. He did apologize today, and I think did say that.
And I understand he was trying to warn his players not to use it,
right.
And that is the reason that he used it, but I agree with you, KD, that he still shouldn't have used it. And he said that, right? Here's the statement, quote, I met with our seniors and leadership council last night about how we move forward as a team together. We are committed as individuals and as a program to fighting racial injustice of any kind. I apologize for the use of a word that, in any context, is unacceptable. I have always encouraged our players to do better and be better, and I must live by that same standard. Our players, past and present, have always been the strength of our program. These men are and will always be my motivation and driving force. He's had several players, even guys that are in the NFL right now, that have come out, echoed those same sentiments that Gary Patterson, that is unacceptable for anybody to be using that word in that context. We should all be trying to eradicate it from our English language, especially in common use. I know there is some poetic license and rap songs and movies, and I get it. He also had players, numerous players on campus right now. I can't go through the list of them, but tons of them. So guys who are starters, guys who are leaders on the team who said they discussed it. One of the reasons that they actually protested practice on the defensive side of the ball after this incident was because they wanted to discuss how to move forward. Mm-hmm. That was one of the senior leaders said, we want to discuss how to move forward. We had a meeting at that time. We wanted to use our time together, because remember, the NCAA only allows you to be with the players for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
And they said, no, we wanted to meet with everybody, with coaches, everybody, about how do we move forward. We knew that it was an issue.
Which is smart. The punter did chip in and said, plus it was hot outside.
We didn't really want to be out there. They've taken up for Gary Patterson and said this was an ignorant incident on his part, an ignorant mistake on his part. But
I don't think he's a racist, though.
He's not. Basically, he is not a racist. We've never had an incident like that with him. If you want to argue,
I think he's anti-girlfriend and National Girlfriend Day.
Maybe
I got that out of the statement.
Him and Mike Lee. Leach, apparently, right? Or fat little girlfriends in Mike Leach's case. All right, he only likes some skinny little girlfriends. But it does get to something about how you know, we always got to watch how we talk to one another, right?
Yes.
I always say we got to watch how we speak to one another. Every now and then we slip up and I think we're really disrespectful to one another, even in people we disagree with in this country.
Especially people we disagree with.
Yeah, we can disagree, but we gotta learn to disagree about being disagreeable. And free speech has got to be the foundation of any free society, right? Free speech, no question about it. But responsible speech is the burden of a free people. We must be responsible about how we talk to one another, right? So words matter, and words, they can cut deep. So when you got something to say and you know it's going to be something that you're disagreeing with another person about, watch our tone and watch our language. You know what I mean? Go out of your way to be articulate and be eloquent enough to find the right word. They're in the English language. I guarantee you. Craig Way will tell you because
he'd know it.
Exactly. That guy is eloquent as anybody. But find the words and be able to relay your opinion in a way that is not disrespectful to that other person and does not demean and degrade them or their intellectual level. And I do think Gary Patterson at times, and this is not the only incident, I do believe at times he irresponsibly speaks to his players. And by the way, that's football in the 20th century.
It is.
But I think now we're in a
different world. But the condescension, you got to be a little careful with it now.
A little careful with that. You talked about it yesterday. If you're a coach who's coaching a female's women's basketball team or a volleyball team, you better watch. You got to watch certain words you say. Yeah, you may cuss, but you can't be dropping the B word on those ladies.
No.
You can cuss as a coach, but you better watch how you cuss to that certain demographic, that constituency. Be sensitive to that. And if you're not aware of that, then that's a bigger problem, by the way, we need to discuss. If you don't know that half of your team, or maybe 70% of them, are African-American, and that they may be dehumanized by the use of that word in any context, then we need to have a bigger discussion, Gary Patterson. And I think he knows that, and he's smart enough to know that.
I think Gary knew that, too. I think he knew he messed up. And so... So far, it looks like TCU, and really, we knew it. It was going to be about the veteran players and also former players that are maybe in the league or not even in the league that are coming back and saying, no, this guy's been coaching for a long time.
Yep.
I mean, he's 60, and he's 172-70 heading into his 20th season. So
he's good, too.
So,
that helps, too.
Gary Patterson
had been going through three straight losing seasons.
Oh, this is Dana Dimel. He's gone. 1-11 and head into his third year at UTEP.
Exactly.
Convenient excuse.
Come on now.
I mean, hell, Utah did everything they could to keep Morgan Scalley.
They wanted to.
Because he's a damn good defensive coordinator.
Good, like, he's a coordinator, though. We can't just like keeping a coordinator for
but
that.
But he's a head coach in waiting. All right. I don't know if it's worth it. What did he say exactly?
What did he say exactly? Yeah, he dropped the end bump. I think he did it twice. All right, let him go. You're right. I mean, there's no question Gary Patterson being good at his job helps. But also, we talked about this with Mike Gundy. One of the things we were really disappointed in Mike Gundy with was that a lot of his players didn't come and have his back. And some came later, but I think they came late to the party. The guys that took up for Gary Patterson immediately took up for him. And
as we were doing the show yesterday, that was coming down on social media.
And criticized Dylan Jordan a little bit.
So I think
some guys came out against him publicly.
So he said yesterday.
He said he mischaracterized it a little bit.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
So I know he was a redshirt freshman, but I just assumed because of the because of what Patterson said, that the kid was transferring from Pitt. And I went back and looked at it last night. From Pittsburgh, Kansas. So I was like, I'm going to be sending your home back. That was the Pitt he was talking about.
Ooh. That's a Pittsburgh, Kansas?
I'd rather go back to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania than Pittsburgh, Kansas any day of the week. Any day of the week.
That can't be a good place.
So I guess my point is that really was a threat.
That was a threat. You can't be telling me you're going to send them. I mean, I get it, but, you know, just try to be a little bit more patient with the way you talk to your players.
I think that flew when you were playing. I don't think that flies as much now.
No.
That gets back to the conversation I had with the coach this weekend that there's just some things that just are different. You got to deal
with different
that.
Now, man. It is. And, you know, I know these
coaches. And ball coaches are tough to adjust with stuff like
man,
that.
They're old school. By nature, they're all old school, and I think they're having to adjust. But we all are.
You know,
we're all adjusting real time.
I know. And what a bunch of hypocrites, because these are the same guys that I know forever have been preaching sudden change. Well, guess what, Chief? Here's some sudden change. Let's see how you flip here.
That is a great. I love that. You know what? We're gonna end it on that note. That's a good one. You're right. Sudden change. So the coaches aren't ready for it, but the players certainly are. All right. We come back. We'll get into my rant of the day. I'm going to call out the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know if anybody's keeping up with this. Remember when LeBron James went to Miami for the first time and said, I'm not going, not one, not two, not three, not four. He basically claimed they were going to win like eight different championships there in Miami. And they won two.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, right?
Not bad.
But because he threw out the expectation that they were going to win eight, a lot of people see his time in Miami as a disappointment. He should have won more championships there. The Kansas City Chiefs are basically doing what LeBron did when he went to Miami, and nobody's paying attention. There's a pandemic going on. But Patrick Mahomes, Chris Jones, Tyreek Hill have all called their shot and said Kansas City's going to win at least five Super Bowls. Is anybody keeping up with this?
I've heard one or two.
They're going on the record and said, and everybody's like, it's going to happen. Everybody's on board with this. I must protest. And when we come back, we'll talk about why these guys are getting a little too big for their britches. I don't even know why I said that. That's an old school saying. But we'll come back. We'll talk about that on Roger Ranton today right here on the Triple Option with RBKD right here on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260.
So on the Whole Foods Market app.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real!
My God! Okay, it's happening! Everybody stay calm!
You've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers, hanging out with my man Kevin Dunn. Sam Pika twisting and tweaking the downs. BK is out. Much deserved vacation. I'm sure we'll get tales from the dark side when he returns.
Usually it's big tales from him.
It is. Well, hey, listen. Hey, man.
Hey, everyone needs loving. And the good thing BK likes to give.
That's the one thing about, listen, you can all.
Big loving.
Somebody's into it. No, whatever you got going on, somebody's into that. Somebody somewhere thinks you sexy. That's why you just got to find who that person is that thinks you sexy.
That's what Match.com
thinks. That's exactly. That's what Tinder, all that's for. Like, that's if somebody out there who is into your whole vibe, and they're like, you are so sexy. And somebody's disgusted by your vibe. It's just, this is the way it is.
Oh, I've met her.
I've met her a couple times.
I've
met them both, and that's the beauty of it. So I've been plus size pleaser, a little Lane Bryant lover, nothing wrong with that.
Oh, I don't know about to that degree, but I've definitely taken a couple. I say taking a couple for the team. I wouldn't have been wingman, and it's just late, and it's like, you know what?
Hey, man.
And it was good loving.
She's sexy.
It was good loving.
You can be sexy and be different. You know what I mean? You don't have. Like, yes. Sexy is not always the Victoria's Secret version of sexy. Sexy can
sometimes
be.
Sometimes you get to know her, and that gets less sexy.
Sometimes the personality is sexy.
And then the personality
sometimes
is sexy.
Sometimes the way she carries herself is sexy. The way she dresses sexy. Oh, the fact that she likes The Office and Seinfeld. Damn, that's sexy. You want to come over
sexy.
And kick it a little bit?
Yeah.
Hey, it depends on the situation. Anyway. All right. Anyway, I don't even know how we got to that, but it was good advice. I
don't know how we got to that either.
All right. Let's talk about something that ain't, well, it is sexy because everybody's on this bandwagon. And I might be ready to jump off the bandwagon. And I've been on this bandwagon.
Oh, what?
Usually when I don't like full bandwagons. I don't like a bandwagon that's packed. COVID's going on. I can't even separate myself, socially distance myself. I can't even have, nobody's wearing face masks on this bandwagon. I'm not sure I want to be on this bandwagon that long. And the Kansas City Chiefs bandwagon is getting jam-packed. There's no room on this damn bandwagon. It is. It's like ACL. There ain't no damn room. It's packed on the damn Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City Chiefs bandwagon. And I'm not jumping off because I don't believe in Patrick Mahomes of Kansas City. Trust me. I've broken it down for you guys. I do think that they have dynastic potential. Like, they could go on a dynasty run, and we could be in the midst of it right now. And Patrick Mahomes is a revolution at the quarterback position. He's a category 5 force of nature. He's a phenomenon there. But I will say this. The Kansas City Chiefs have become really, really arrogant and cocky. I think
so. Not the coaches. You're not Andy
Reid's. Not the
coaches.
Not the players. I'm talking about Patrick Mahomes. Let's start with him. Because Patrick Mahomes, he's the one that started this thing. And he's probably been telling the guys in the locker room the same thing. And you know what? If I had Patrick Mahomes as my starting quarterback, I'd probably be believing that, you know what, we're going to win 6-7 Super Bowls because he seems to be the quarterback messiah.
Let's remember, though, pre-salary cap, no one was really winning 6 out of 8. Not in our lifetime, I should say.
And salary cap changed everything, right? We'll get into that here in a second, too. So Patrick Mahomes, in an ESPN interview, he was asked about, you know, winning Super Bowls and where his goals are at quarterback, right? What are your goals? And how many Super Bowls do you want to win? You've won one Super Bowl MVP. You've already been the youngest MVP in NFL history. What are your goals? He said, I don't know if there's a number. He said, obviously you try and chase greatness, and Tom has six. I'm going to try and do whatever I can do to get to that number. I understand how hard that is. How it was
I don't think
a
he does
one
yet.
Of a kind thing for Tom to be able to get to 9 Super Bowls and win 6 of them. I'm just going to go about the process every single day of trying to make myself better and do what I can to make the Kansas City Chiefs better. So he's already hinted at, you know what? The goal is 6 with Tom, which I like. And when the time that he threw it out there, I was like, you know what? I like that.
Yeah.
I want my quarterback to be borderline arrogant. I want him to have his goals very lofty. I want them to be the GOAT. That should be his goals. He's got that kind of potential. But then I started hearing his teammates echo the very same sentiment. Tyreek Hill, who was getting into actually an argument with Marquise Goodwin. And he was talking about Marquise Goodwin. He was upset. And he actually got into how many rings he think the Kansas City Chiefs are going to win, how many Super Bowl rings. He said, well, I'm not – he went and said, I'm not going to say he's telling a fib. He was talking about Patrick Mahomes, right? So I'm not going to say he's telling a fib. He's definitely a man of his word. He said, why say 5 or 6? Why not go 7 rings? Right now, we're just chasing Michael Jordan. So that's what we do. So I'm going over 5. I'm going to say 7. So Tyreek Hill said they're going to win 7 Super Bowls. Patrick Mahomes said they're going to win 6. Chris Jones, in between that, Chris Jones.
He's not going to be around for all those.
He was on 610 Sports Radio. I agree with you on that. He said, this is only the beginning. We plan to have another parade and another parade and another parade. We're going to make sure we bring not one. He went LeBron here.
Oh, God.
Not 2, not 3, not 4.
4?
But 5 plus rings to Kansas City. It's been 50 years of waiting, but the wait is over now. It's time to create a dynasty. Okay. So you got 3 parades. Chris Jones, they probably don't win the Super Bowl without Chris Jones and his 3 or 4 plays that he made in that Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes,
no.
The best player in the NFL. He's the face of the franchise. And Tyreek Hill is his favorite weapon. And they're all saying at least 5 Super Bowls. But you know what? 6, Ty Brady, Chris Jones saying, okay, plus 5. And Tyreek Hill saying, okay, we're going to get to 7 and surpass Brady. We're going to get to the Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls level of Super Bowls. Nobody's paying attention to how cocky and arrogant they sound. Nobody else. And LeBron had,
you're right.
When LeBron did, everyone was like, oh, I can't believe LeBron did it, man. LeBron is disrespecting the game. I can't believe he's so cocky and arrogant, man. I hate LeBron. Patrick Mahomes does it? We love Mahomes.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill, Chris Jones, nobody cares. Are we too
worried? Tyreek Hill's never done anything for us not to love him.
Well done. He deserves it, by the way. He's a piece of
LeBron
POS.
Had the announcement.
So what are your thoughts about this? Did you?
It's an interesting point because right. You at least caught me, and I'm guessing you caught a lot of us. And there are probably some people listening right now that are like, Rod, I've been thinking the exact same thing. I can't believe how loud they've been about this.
They're calling their shot.
They're calling their shot, and they're doing it in such a tough sport. You know,
exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
If I'm Garrett Cole and Judge, maybe, or a Bellinger, right? And you're with those two organizations in that sport where you can just go pay for everything.
You're good.
Yeah.
Or the NBA.
Or the NBA.
Which is an aristocracy. It's
exactly.
Always been the elites that rule the sport.
Right. If you're in the middle, you're actually really screwed.
The middle class of the NBA is worse than the middle class of America. There's
right.
No upward mobility.
At least they have a middle class. I'll give them that.
Well,
at least it exists. It's a hellhole, and you can't get out of it, but at least it exists. I'm surprised. I mean, especially for the other guys, because Tom Brady, okay? Give me the offensive guys that were with him for Super Bowl 1 and 2. Because we're going to be realistic about this. If you do win 5 more, you're not winning it even in the next 8 years, right?
Oh, yeah, it's going to take a little while.
It's going to take maybe 15 years. And so Pat Mahomes would be the only guy who's still a part
of
that.
It took Brady. Yeah, you're right. It took Brady about 15 years to get to those 6.
This is not the Saints 80s linebacking core that's going to be together for 11 straight years.
Yeah, you're right. That's a great point. Chris Jones,
especially.
Like you said, Mahomes will be there, but Chris Jones and Tyreek Hill won't be there.
Long
gone.
Fact,
they may not make it to the 3rd Super Bowl.
Right.
Yeah.
And even that, think about that. Getting to a 3rd Super Bowl.
Yeah, and let's get to those numbers.
In the current NFL would be impressive as hell.
It would be impressive
as hell. It's set up. for everyone to always have that chance the next year.
But let's throw this out there. This is why they have a shot, right? Because they've gone 12-4 each of the seasons where Mahomes has been a starter. In the first year when he's a starter, if not for Dee Ford being offside, they probably go to a Super Bowl. I don't know if they win it. They probably do. But they go to a Super Bowl.
Probably.
And then the next year, of course.
Remember, the Rams were falling apart.
The Rams.
Do the Chiefs have kind of the answer that Belichick had?
Exactly, right? But their defense was improved. That's why they brought in Honey Badger, Chris, all that, right? It's a part of improving the defense. But here's a stat that I'll get into and that you brought up that, you know, in the salary cap era, this is just really hard to do. But if anybody can do it, I will say the Chiefs, they're at least on the right path. They got the best player in the game playing the quarterback position. He's young. He's unselfish. That's why he signed a 10-year deal when every other quarterback wants a short deal. So you got a Brady-esque, Tim Duncan-esque, unselfish superstar. That's
who
usually
was talking pre-deal about, I don't want to take too much.
Come on now.
Because I want to still win.
He said, I want to leave some on the table for guys like Chris Jones.
Yes.
Who got his deal right after Mahomes
right
got
after.
His deal. So that, number one, that's just hard to get. And, of course, he's phenomenal. He's great. And Andy Reid, I think Andy Reid's going to end up being a top 10 all-time coach in the NFL when it's all said and done. Because I think he potentially could win another Super Bowl under Mahomes. There's no doubt about
that. And this cemented Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah. And that's winning two.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, well, yes. But winning two would make him, a top 10.
I got
potentially
that.
Coach,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You can make
He'd
that argument.
He'd be in that Shanahan area.
There you go, right? In the salary cap era, so since 1994, only five teams have made it back to a Super Bowl after winning it. 97 Packers, 98 Broncos, who won it back-to-back.
It was Shanahan.
04 Pats, 2014 Seattle. Remember, they almost won it right down the goal line, not for Malcolm Butler. And in 2017 Pats, because they win Atlanta, biggest comeback of all time. Then they lose to the Eagles. It was back-to-back. So it's tough to do. It ain't necessarily easy to do. You go pre-Super Bowl, Green Bay in 67-68, Miami 73-74, Pittsburgh twice, 75-76, 79-81 both, by the way. All right. Then Dallas 78-79, Washington 83-84, they won one, so did Dallas in 78-79, San Fran 89-90, they won both, and Dallas 93-94, right before the salary cap, they won both of those. It really ain't, so it's happened 13 times total.
Can I even throw one more in there for
you? 5 times since the salary cap there, yes.
So Green Bay, you gave them back-to-back? Technically, so the salary cap was implemented in
93, 94.
It took a little while for it to really
Felt. 5 years, actually.
5 years.
Yeah,
so,
about 5 years.
So that is still a little salary cap in there as well.
You started like 99.
Yeah, that's probably where I'd start.
There's like three teams.
Yes.
It's 04 Pats, 2017 Pats, and those 2014 Seattle Seahawks. So it's really, really tough to do.
Just to get back there.
But usually you have the best quarterback in the league at the time, and the Broncos had it with John Elway.
True.
97 Packers had it with Brett Favre.
True.
2004 Pats, 2017 Pats, you could argue it's Brady. He's just a GOAT. And then 2014 Seattle Seahawks, we didn't recognize, but at the time, Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
He's probably top three best quarterback in the league right now.
You had a Kurt Warner in there too. So, I mean, you had top-notch guys that were considered top five quarterbacks at the time.
Yes.
Kurt Warner's in there. Isn't he?
No. Broncos, Pats, Seattle Seahawks, Pats, Packers.
I thought Rams when they beat the Titans.
Oh, you are right. Yeah, Rams did go back-to-back. No, they didn't.
Well, they didn't go back-to-back. I'm just talking about quarterbacks post-salary cap era if we're starting it at that point.
Oh, I'm talking about teams that went back-to-back Super Bowls, which is what the Tennessee Chiefs are trying to do, trying to go to back. After winning a Super Bowl, go to another Super Bowl. So essentially the Super Bowl hangover is a real thing. It's really hard win a Super Bowl and get back to a Super Bowl. Only five teams have done that since the implementation of the salary cap. But if anybody can do it, like I said, the Kansas City Chiefs can do it because they got the best player in the NFL at the most important position,
yep,
which is quarterback. But, man, it's really, really tough, but I just can't believe how. So I'm thinking about hopping off the bandwagon is the point.
No, don't hop off the bandwagon.
Everybody's
on
the Kansas City bandwagon.
I know.
There's going to be a Super Bowl hangover. I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl in back-to-back years. It's really tough to do.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
The last team that went back-to-back was what, the Cowboys?
Yeah.
It's really hard to do, man.
Well, no. The Broncos.
Yes, right. Broncos. 98. Yeah. And then before them was the Cowboys in 94.
Seattle, right. Like you said, yeah. Should have
so
done it.
Really
and
tough
that gets
to
back
do.
To, okay, if you go back to back and you almost do it, you're going to have a hell of a quarterback. And that's where the Chiefs are in a good spot. Could Mahomes maybe do that? Maybe. Chris Jones and any of those other guys in current day NFL, he ain't going to be around for those.
I think he wins 3 in his career.
Okay. But yeah. You also think he plays till he's 40, right?
He's going to play a long time. Yeah. I think he wins. I don't know if you, man, 6?
No, I mean, I wouldn't take the yes on that. I'd take the under.
I mean, great. Brett Favre's got
because
one.
Everything you mentioned.
Aaron Rodgers got one. Drew Brees has got one.
Yeah.
He's been awesome. Joe Namath's got one. You got some great quarterbacks with just 1 or 2 Super Bowls.
Steve Young has one as a starter. Only one. I know he's got some others, but.
Troy Aikman's got 3. Oh, man. It's just really hard to do.
It is.
Yeah, so.
Hey, you know who has 2?
Who?
Eli.
Eli's got 2.
I would have lost that bet, too.
He had 2 before his brother did.
Yeah, no joke. I definitely would have lost that. All right, good stuff, Rod. Off the record, coming up next, we got a couple different stories, Rod, that we can hit here. So we may move around. There's a good sex story, the mattresses. I got a kick out of that. But we'll get back to off the record and have some fun with this thing and try and keep it light here on the Triple Options. Triple Option with RBKD, Rod Babers, Kevin Dunn, Brad Kellner is gone. We'll be back next week. We got Sam Pika. It is The Horn.
DD Mega Doo-Doo. I'm sorry, Mangudu.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get the rain and comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East. Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. And thing sucks.
Welcome back to another edition of Off the Record. This Off the Record may be rated R.
Uh-oh.
So if you are riding with kids in the car, earmuffs or change the dial.
Good job, Rod.
I'll give you 5 seconds, okay?
All right.
Because I know people have complained to us sometimes.
They have.
Something letting be known.
And I get it.
Trust me, I get it. I don't have kids, but I get it.
Yeah.
Okay? We want to be here.
You're an uncle, right?
I'm an uncle. So
were you in that spot ever?
I get the inappropriate content. Yeah, I do it.
The problem is I was the guy providing the inappropriate content
exactly,
to them. So it was my sister getting on me, but I get it.
You ever, okay, this is a one example. You ever go to the movies or watch a movie with your parents and didn't realize the movie was somewhat explicit in terms of like nudity and sex scenes?
It's so
awkward. And how awkward that is. And when people complain that, man, you were talking about this and I was in the car with my kid, I put myself in that moment where I was watching.
That is smart.
You know what I mean? A movie and my mom and dad. There and somebody just banged it out on TV. I'm like, okay, this is, I want to leave now.
I grew up totally different. If there was a joke I didn't get in a movie, my dad would be like, did you get that one? Oh, really? Let me explain it to you.
And that explains you in a nutshell, Sam.
Well, the jokes never, with my family, was never a problem.
The jokes aren't great, but it's the...
If there was love scenes.
Yes.
That, like, as a kid, that was awkward.
It's so, and everybody just stares at the screen. Nobody looks at each other.
No one does
like,
anything.
Don't move. Let's just wait till this scene is over.
You think Paris is going to be good this year, Dad? Turns into John Candy and Steve Martin.
Okay, so I'll be quick about this because we're running out of time. This is a cool story. Okay, so Sleep Standard. It's a website that offers research-based sleep health advice and product reviews on mattresses and things that are sleep-associated items. They're going to offer to pay 5 couples $3,000 to be intimate on a variety of mattresses and then report back to them which of the mattresses gives them the best experience. How about this? We're looking
Hold on, there's got to be a catch here because that sounds like the best, easiest deal, best job in the history
it's
of
real.
Mankind.
I looked at the website. It's real. Sleep Standard's a real website. They do this kind of work. How about this? It says, we're looking for 5 lucky couples that can take part in our experiment. This is the job description. We'll send you a new mattress every week, and all you have to do is give us your honest reviews on how good that mattress is for sex. That's right. You can get paid for doing what you do in your regular everyday life, sex, if you're lucky.
Just sex, though, not sleeping and sex. They just want to know what sex is like on there.
Yeah, it said a total of 8 weeks. You just let them know. You say, you will have to test out 8 different mattresses in 8 weeks.
Okay,
that's
that
it.
Could be a little bit of a pain. Dude, but for $3,000 and the sex part, that's a good deal.
That's a pretty good deal.
Well,
that's
not bad. It's not like you're going to pick up the mattress. They're delivering it. They pick it up.
To,
and so, yeah.
I mean,
you just got to put the sheets back on there.
You don't have to install.
But you should be washing those sheets anyway because of the work you're doing.
Amen. I like that. And you don't have to install the mattress like into your bedroom. You can have them bring the mattress over and you can go put the mattress on the floor.
Wow.
And handle your business, and they're like, boom, you can leave the mattress in the garage if you want to. Babe, let's go out here and handle this business, and then write down the notes, and then we're good.
Just leave it in the yard.
Just leave it.
That's your quote back. This is a good garage mattress.
Well, I don't want to listen. It's a pandemic, so I don't want to bring a mattress in my house that could have been. I don't know where this mattress has been. You know what I mean? I hope if it's wrapped.
But you'll have sex on it
if it's wrapped in plastic. That's what I'm saying. Like I agree with you. That's what I'm saying.
You're not going to take the plastic off.
I hope it's wrapped in plastic. So that means it's
so
new.
That way it's new. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. If it's wrapped in plastic, all good. If it's not, then I might have to wrap it in something.
What if they're reusing
and then have sex on it?
What if they're reusing these mattresses for those 8 weeks with all the people that are involved?
Yeah, what if they're like
so
rotating
you get week
mattresses?
Two.
That's why it's got to be in plastic.
By the end of it, you're like, oh, this is Joe and Tammy. I can smell it.
No, it's got to be in plastic. It's got to come in plastic.
I hope your parents turned it off for that part.
Oh, that's already got to be turned off. But that's a real thing. Remember we saw a bidet company that had a research kind of experiment going on where they would pay you, I think it was $10,000.
But you had to film your stuff, didn't you? Was that bidet or was that a toilet?
It was like a bidet company. Yeah,
okay.
They wanted.
But that was where you had to film
make
it, right?
Make a journal of essentially of your BMs and
right,
and you would have got 10,000 G's. 10 G's.
Yeah, I know.
Pretty good.
Well, your journal will be empty here.
I mean, between that job and the mattress sex job, I mean, you'd be pretty good. You know, if you lost your job, I'm just giving you options right now. That's all.
All right.
All right.
So we had the pandemic relief fund, and I've also been working for a bidet company and a mattress company. Oh, awesome. Good for you, Billy.
File those taxes,
sounds
man.
Like you're back on your feet.
What do you put for the taxes? So I can tell you what you got. You got
Ooh.
The money. Sex study?
I don't know.
You can put sex study. You can get paid for sex studies.
You could.
Come on, man.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah. I prefer to get paid for sex studies, as a matter of fact. I want to do it for free.
No, that would
I
be...
guess I would do it for free.
That's
what
the problem.
What am I talking about? Of course.
That's the problem is that, you don't have to go that high on this stuff. There's going to be a taker.
Yeah,
I'm surprised they went that high.
You're right. They don't need $3,000.
They don't need $3,000.
I'll give you $30.
I think they're doing $3,000 just because they're trying to get people that aren't going to just take it.
Sure. Well, right now,
to
you
take
would.
It.
People are hurting.
Yeah.
They need that money.
Hell yeah.
I'd take it.
Hey, look, there are billionaires that take $3,000 right now.
And a reason to have sex.
Right.
Baby, we need this money.
Yeah. Unreal.
All right. That's enough.
All right. We got 3 hours down. We got about 1 hour to go. We'll get back to some NBA and Major League Baseball stuff, because Major League Baseball, God knows what's going on. We got a lot of updates with that. Some NBA news, notes, and schedule. Also, we'll give you that score that we were talking about. 3 hours in, 1 hour to go. We appreciate y'all listening. This is The Horn.